Well, the world is a dumpster fire. Nothing here makes sense. And you vacillate between crippling fear and constant self-defense. And nothing's right and nothing's good. And you're paralyzed with grief. Don't kill yourself, just have a cup of coffee.
Welcome to Coffee Over Suicide, the dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death one cup of coffee at a time. I'm your host, Chris Parker Howard. And guess what, my friends? Valentine's Day has come early. That's right. Today on the show, we have got love guru and just all-around powerhouse of a human being, Michelle Valentine. We have a really great conversation about a lot of things, and there's something that we didn't get into that I think I would have liked to have talked to her about, and that is I'm a person who falls in love real easy, and I know that sounds like a thing that could be damaging or crippling or unhealthy, but honestly, it's one of the things I like about myself. I know this about me, and so that means that I have to be aware. Just like any of my other emotions, with the bipolar, the depression can come out of nowhere at any time. I don't know when I'm going to be hit with feelings that have come from chemicals being sprayed on the inside of my dome for all the wrong reasons. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I know that I can choose how I react to it. And so there are times when things are going perfectly great and I feel completely alone, damaged, stupid, and depressed. Now, why do I bring that up? Easy. Because on the flip side, one of the things that comes with this is that being bipolar, sometimes I get a little bit of the good juice too. And one of those things I think might be the ability to fall in love at the drop of a hat. Now, that's a very positive emotion. And depending on what you do with it, it's completely healthy. I wasn't always healthy about it. I had this idea that the moment you felt anything, it was the real deal and had to be chased. Had to be chased. And I made a lot of people very unhappy. Including myself. But emotional intelligence isn't something that you get right away. It's not something that comes out of the blue and just happens to you. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. And as human beings, we're going to go through some processes where sometimes things don't work out and you get your heart broken. But you know what? That's part of it. That's part of the whole messy thing. And in its own way, it's beautiful. Especially if you can take a piece of that and really do something with it. Really learn something about yourself, the way you interact with other human beings, what other people see when they look at you, and take it to heart. And you know what? The next time you fall in love, maybe it really will be the real deal. But it's worth taking a chance. You can never go wrong. Finding and losing love. It's one of the greatest things we get to experience as human beings. And I think if you get to know yourself, and you really get to know yourself well, you'll be the kind of person that can stand on their own two feet, but also is a compliment to another human being. Because that's what you want to be. If you're in a relationship with one person, you want to be equal partners. Hell, if you're in a relationship with more than one person, kudos to you for having the energy. But we're not going to get into that right now. Right now, we're going to talk to the amazing, the lovely Michelle Valentine.
Thank you.
And here we are, we're rolling. So, right out of the gate, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Chris, how are you?
Doing okay. you know, it's actually been really hot in Denver lately, and so the weather is pretty intense even now. It's almost 80 degrees already this morning.
Wow, well, geez, I'm in Florida, so that's pretty normal for us here.
Yeah, but you also
so
have all that humidity.
I have no sympathy for you.
So I mean, are you originally from Florida?
No, I'm originally from Michigan, so I know all about cold and blizzards and scraping ice off the car and having no sunshine for weeks at a time and being cooped up in a house and getting cabin fever and just wishing for spring and summer. So after I graduated college with my degree in psychology, I said I'm moving to the land of sunshine, and I moved to Florida and never looked back.
Well,
and
that's something that
family,
we'll have in common.
My family followed.
I'm from Michigan as well.
Oh, okay. What area?
Saginaw.
Oh, great. Okay, Saginaw is north, sure. And I'm from the Detroit metropolitan area, right?
Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know what it's all about. Yes.
Oh, I do,
and then you moved to Colorado, though. So
yeah.
So it was a lateral move for you.
Yeah, a little bit. It's you know, the big secret here is that there's a lot more sunshine than people give it credit for. Mm-hmm. People forget that Colorado is still the West. So it's pretty good. The winters aren't that bad here. I mean, especially comparatively to Michigan.
Right. And sunshine has a lot to do with your happiness and how you feel.
You're not wrong.
It's very true. It's very true. And, you know, people in Michigan or just up north, as they say, do a lot of light therapy just to kind of get some false sense of sunshine. I'm definitely down here in the land of sunshine, and it's good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, tell me a little bit about where you are now, as far as what it is you're doing.
All right. Well, for the past at least 20 some years, I specifically work with singles in their dating and relationship issues. So, I help singles that are depressed because they're single. I help singles to find someone because, of course, life is definitely happier when you have the right person. I also help singles that are with the wrong person and they're depressed because they're with the wrong person. So, I provide advice. I talk to people over the phone. I have audio courses for them. I email with singles. I have conducted, gosh, I can't even imagine how many seminars and workshops I've conducted around the world. I've had a TV talk show for many years. It still airs in select markets here and there, but I've had a TV talk show for a long time. And everything that I could think of to get the word out, basically to help people live a happier life. And I love it. It's my passion, and that's why I'm here too.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that actually I've never even really touched on here in the conversations that I've had with people, is that that idea that our interpersonal relationships, we talk about that all the time, but as far as like the very specific aspect of being a human being who's out there looking for, you know, looking for love, ultimately we kind of all are. In a lot of ways, but that romantic love, that's something that just about every human being craves and needs, maybe on a cellular level. So it's pretty interesting that you bring up that depression can be tied to a lack of that. What was the first springboard point for you discovering this?
I was working, well, my degree is in psychology, and amazingly, while I put myself through college, I was working through college, and one of the things that I did was I was a manicurist, and I was working in a beauty salon, and I would sit there and hold these women's hands and polish their fingernails, but the amazing thing is that they would just sit there and talk to me about their relationships. whether it was because they're single, oh my gosh, I went on this date last night, it was awful, or I can't find somebody, or the guys are this or that, or women, of course, would talk about their husbands or problems with their marriages. And it was absolutely fascinating to me of listening to people. And I always, you know, chimed in my own advice, if you don't like this guy, if he's not treating you well, then you need to leave him. And it's simple as that. And then sure enough, I would see them the next couple of weeks for their manicure, and she'd go, you know, I broke up with him, and I just feel so much better. So I think it started a long, long, long time ago. Thinking about that you bring this up, even when I was a kid, I used to love to read the newspaper, and I used to love to read Ann Landers. Remember her?
Dear, oh, yeah.
Ann Landers. I lived for those columns. I just loved it as a kid, reading a newspaper. And then when I was a kid, unbelievably, I started my own little newspaper on my block. And it was just a little one-sheet newspaper. I went to the copy shop and made copies for 10 cents. And I did a little column called Dear Pinky, because my favorite color was pink, and I always wore pink, and it was a nickname. And I actually had a little advice column already started, when I was a teenager. And then once I graduated college, I actually did professionally pitch an idea to a newspaper about writing an advice column. And they loved it. And Michelle Valentine even launched from there as well. I've had a couple of 100 columns published in newspapers and magazines. So I love helping people. I love listening to their problems and helping them to logically solve them and to help them strategize and come up with a great way to reach the desired outcome of a great, happy life. So...
That is a pretty unique approach as far as, you know, taking a psychology degree and using it in a way that I guess a lot of people wouldn't have gone in the direction of that. It is something that is necessary, and it makes a lot of sense that someone with an informed understanding of human behavior and human psychology would be able to help, you know, with something that I guess could be described as sort of a lack of understanding on someone's part, because there's an emotional intelligence required in understanding yourself as well as understanding your partner before you can really partner up with somebody who's going to compliment you.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm degreed in psychology, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not a shrink per se, right?
Right.
So when people talk to me, they can talk to me as a friend, as someone who is completely unbiased. I don't know them when they call me and talk to me, so I don't, you know, if they talk to their mother, their sister, brother, their close girlfriends, they're going to get a biased response from them because their friends and family don't want to hurt their feelings or upset them, or because they know them so well. When they talk to me, not that I get them upset or any, because I don't know them, but I can give them a very clear view of what I'm hearing from them. So it's just easier on them, and they don't feel like they're talking to a shrink or anything like that. Not that they're crazy or anything like that. It's just really more common sense. I help them based on other people that had experiences of what they're going through. So, but it's true. People do want to find love, and people are happier when they have a wonderful person in their life, and they need to find someone that complements them, not someone who's the same as them.
Right.
You know, you always hear, oh, opposites attract. Okay, they attract, but they don't necessarily stay together for very long.
Yeah.
You have to find someone that you have a common core with them, such as your values and things of that nature. But it's okay if they like football and you don't. It's okay if you like to paint and be quiet and be creative and they don't. It's okay if you have separate hobbies, but it's the core values that are really important that make it work. You know, someone who understands you, someone who can just love you for who you are, even if you are depressed or have a little bit of bouts of this and that. But it's important for singles not to feel too bad about being single. So
yeah.
It's a vicious cycle. Dating is a vicious cycle. You get highs and lows, highs and lows, highs and lows. You get your hopes up high. Oh, I can't wait to go on a date with this girl. She seems like my dream girl, and I can't wait. And you're waiting for this date all week long. And what are you going to wear? Where you plan the restaurant, everywhere you're going to go. And then you go on the date, and she's just not your dream girl, or she's a mean girl, or she's just not very pleasant, or you have nothing in common. And then you get depressed. And the next day you get depressed because, you know, it fell through. And then you have to go through it again with the next girl. And so dating can be a very, very up and down cycle to go through. And it's hard. It's really hard.
Well, and it can be a difficult scene, too, if say, you're a person with, like, a clinical depression. That can
sure.
be kind of a hard thing. I've talked to a
yes.
couple of people about that, because the issue is that it's difficult to take something like that about yourself and share that with another person. You know, at what point in the relationship do you tell someone, by the way, I do have clinical depression, and sometimes it can manifest like this. And
now, that's a great point to bring up. What point, your question was, what point in the relationship do you tell this person? Now, that's the R word is what's important, is relationship,
yeah.
not dating.
So, oh, sure, okay.
For instance, okay, so if you're on, say, for instance, let's go way at the beginning, say online dating. Say, okay, I'm going to go out there and go online dating, which is a good, great way to meet somebody. My husband and I met from online dating. My book is called How to Find Love Online. I wrote the book on online dating. It can happen, but it's you. There's a lot out there, so you really, really got to know what you're doing. But
yeah.
But the number one thing, if you do have clinical depression, that's not something that you would write in your profile. I love long walks on the beach and by the way, I have clinical depression. That's not something that's not something you'd actually put in your profile.
Yeah.
Then when you get your profile out there, you have your great photos of you standing there smiling and all the beach photos or whatever you're doing in your photos. And now you start to get email responses from people, and you're responding to people because they like you. Even in those emails is not when you say, hey, thanks for checking out my profile. By the way, I just want to let you know ahead of time, I have clinical depression.
Right.
That's not the time either to tell them, okay? I'm not saying to not be truthful with people, but because there's 99% of the time you're not going to go out with these people from these emails, 99% of the time you're not going to go on a second date with someone. So even the first date that you go out with someone is still not the time to tell that person that you suffer from clinical depression, because you have a 99% chance you're not going to see them on a second date, and they don't need to know that much personal information about you just yet.
Yeah.
And a first date is really just meant to just see if you're even compatible, if you just like talking to each other, if you just like each other's company, if you find that person attractive. So that's not really at the point to do that. So your question again was, when in the relationship do you tell them? Well, when you are in a somewhat of a relationship. Now, you're not going to wait until you're dating them or with them for 3 months. I would say after a few dates, if you think things are going really great, I think that's the time that you need to tell them that and say, listen, I have clinical depression, or I have bouts of depression, or I'm on medication, or whatever it is. You should tell that to them and say, listen, I just want you to be prepared. It may affect our relationship. It may not. I have a full-time job. You know what? It doesn't really affect my job. It doesn't really affect this. It doesn't affect that. I'm just letting you know that it may affect us. Can you handle that? Ask them. Say, do you think you can handle that? And give them a chance to say, you know what? I appreciate your honesty, but yeah, I don't think I can. Or that person may say, you know what? I like you. I'm willing to see what can happen. Sure, I can handle it. So wait a little bit until that actually happens in the relationship to tell them.
So that process of revealing yourself to the other person is something that is best recommended to do gradually.
Yes, of course, of course. You're not going to expose everything about yourself at the very beginning because, again, it may not even turn into a relationship. So you don't need to expose everything. Not that I'm saying that you need to be untruthful. It's not being untruthful. This is just not putting everything about yourself out there for someone.
No, and that makes sense. Because it is something that does require a pretty high level of trust. Whether
right.
it be depression
right.
or anything that's very personal, putting
sure.
yourself in the hands of another person and expecting them to accept you after you tell them something very personal, it does mm-hmm. require you to have an understanding of that person, who they are. And I mean, even though you're taking a risk, it should be a calculated risk. It's not something
Absolutely.
That you need to tell right. your dentist.
Right, right. So it's right, because you want to also protect yourself.
Yeah.
So it's really important to protect yourself from someone actually saying, say, on the first date, oh, no, I don't want anybody that's got depression. I don't want to date anybody like that.
Yeah.
So you would be constantly in it and just depressed all the time because someone's always telling you this. But that's because you're exposing it too soon on a first date.
Yeah.
So don't be so hard on yourself and just don't bring that up so soon.
And it would be a real personal rejection. It would be a rejection of self.
Sure.
So that could actually manifest as a real problem. It could keep you in a cycle of sadness that you wouldn't necessarily have to be in.
Right. And then what would happen is that then you would say, oh, dating is too hard. People are too mean to me. Nobody likes me.
Yeah.
And then they stop dating altogether. And that's not the thing to do either.
So how did you find yourself navigating the waters, before you found your husband?
How was I dating, basically?
Yeah. Did you learn a lot of lessons about this personally?
Oh, of course, of course. I was single most of my life. I've lived an incredible life. I've traveled the world. I've had TV shows. I've published books, all kinds of things. I've had a fantastic life, and I loved my life the way it was. I had a beautiful home and, pool parties and friends, and my life was very, very full. And, of course, I had boyfriends and things, but I wasn't looking to get married just yet. I was pretty content with my life, and I thought, well, if I'm going to meet the right person, he better be the perfect person. So, and I've met men from all around the world. So, I dated rock stars to scientists to all kinds of people. So, it was, of course, very interesting that way. So I gathered lots of materials per se, but I didn't date that much because, of course, I had boyfriends and in relationships, but I learned a lot myself, of course, to be able to help people on dating. And, the goal is that you have to be pretty happy with yourself to be able to offer something to someone else to find a relationship.
Yeah.
Right? So if someone is depressed and woe is me and, my life is awful and there's nothing good about my life and people have a tendency to maybe not want to be around somebody who's like that all the time. So, if you're depressed, just look for some positive things every day. Maybe three things a day. Tell yourself, okay, what are three good things that happened to me today? Okay, great. I made a fantastic dinner for myself today. My dinner turned out pretty good. Wasn't too bad. Today, my dad came to visit me and he said hello and I got to see him for 5 minutes. Think of something else that just made you smile that day. My cat made me laugh because he learned a new trick. As small as it might be, think of tiny things in your day that make you happy and you could focus on. So when you do meet somebody, you have a little bit of topic, a conversation to talk about. Oh,
yeah.
My dad came to visit. Oh, my cat did this and this and this. So it kind of creates a conversation. It creates some positivity. And it'll make you seem like this interesting, happier person. So, and that's what you have to do. You have to provide something to the other person that is of benefit to them as well, to be around you.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing that I do tell people pretty often, is that sometimes looking at those small victories matters so much. If you're a person that's having some difficulty with things, focusing on the things that are working for you, it doesn't necessarily mean turning a blind eye to the things that aren't, but it's
right,
keeping
right.
a connection to the fact that there are good things in the world, there are good things in your life, and that it's not all falling apart. There are bits and pieces of things that can keep you on the other side of your sadness. And ultimately, having a series of experiences that you can draw from in your life will make you feel more fulfilled and more satisfied with things. And as you start sharing those experiences with another person, you'll begin to feel less alone. So I imagine that's absolutely how that works. When you're starting to have conversations with people when you're out dating.
Right. Yeah, it's very important, because you want to keep things positive when you're talking to somebody on a date. You don't want to sit there and go, oh gosh, my stomach hurts today, my head hurts, and I made dinner last night and it just turned out awful, I burnt it, and you know, whatever. You want to talk about positive things, and it's as tiny as they are. And but dating is hard, and so you've got to put on your coat of armor and really get out there like a soldier and you know, really go at it. And you know, that's why I just love to help people, because I don't want them to stop dating, because if they stop dating, they're never going to meet the right person. And you know, life is happier with another person in your life, someone that cares about you and someone to do things with and go out and keep you motivated and see life through their eyes too. So, yeah.
You seem like a pretty positive person in general. Is that something that you cultivated into what it is now, or is it something that's just kind of always been there for you?
No, it's definitely something I've cultivated. So, yeah, and what you have to do is you have to surround yourself around people. When I say better than you, I just mean you do have to surround yourself around people that are better than you. Better than you, what I mean is better than your own disposition, better than your education, better than your income, better, just because if you strive, if you have goals, being around people who've achieved those things, it's easier to be around them because they lift you up.
Yes.
So, you know, you are like the top five people that you spend your time with. So if you're around, if your five friends that you spend most of your time with, if they are negative, depressed people, guess how you're going to be too. So surround yourself around people that you strive to be. So if you want to be a smarter person, you're like, gosh, I just wish I knew more about whatever the topic is. Find people that are familiar with that. Say, oh, I love wine. I love to drink wine. And, oh, I wish I knew somebody that knew more about wine. Spend time with people that work in wine shops or restaurants or things like that.
And yeah.
As tiny as it may be. You know, if you're like, oh, I wish I knew people that were smarter than me or more well-read, then join a book club. Be around people who read books all the time. So just try to surround yourself around different groups of people, and you'll see just you can pick up their positive, you know, positive mindset and strive to be kind of like them as well. So, but yeah, who you spend your time with has a lot to do with your feelings and how you're feeling.
So did you start spending time with people who seem to have a pretty high level of emotional intelligence?
Yeah, I just started to seek out people that I would join, say, business networking groups, and I would be around other business owners, or I would start talking to people, and I talk a lot, so everywhere I go, I love to talk to people, no matter where I'm at. I'm in the grocery store, I'll strike up a conversation with somebody who goes, oh, you know, I bought those are great too, or whatever it is, And I've made so many friends around the world. I travel around the world speaking, and I've made so many friends by striking up conversations with people. I could just see something that they're wearing and go, oh my gosh, I love your dress. That dress, I've always wanted a dress, or I wish I could be as daring to wear a dress as beautiful as that. And strike up conversations with people that you admire something about them. So, you know, men, if it's a guy, you look at a guy and you go, wow, you know, look at his body, the muscles. I wish I could get some muscles, you know, and talk to him and go, wow, I think, you know, this is great. You know, where do you work out at? He go, oh, I'm at the gym down the street. Come on. This is how you make friends, and this is how they lift you up.
Yeah.
So it's important to do that, right?
I think people are finding a difficulty in finding friends in, let's say, real life. These days,
because
the internet has done this strange thing to us, where we're able to communicate with people all over the world, and yet we're having a more difficult time communicating with people face to face.
Right. People have become lazy, you know, the big L over your forehead with your fingers, your thumb and your first finger, you know, and not only does that mean loser in a way, you could say that means lazy people. And so people are not striking up conversations anymore. They are doing everything at home, sitting in front of their computer and thinking that all of these people are their friends, but realistically they're really not. And, you know, when it comes time to your birthday, they say happy birthday, but that's only because one of these social media companies, they get the little alert, so-and-so's birthday today. But how many of them are calling you on the phone? How many of them are buying you birthday presents? You know, who's taking you out to dinner for your birthday? Who's sending you balloons and flowers? So your real friends are the ones that really know these things. So it's just really important that, especially people that are depressed, they have a tendency to isolate themselves.
Yes.
And isolation is not good. So
no,
they
it's,
need
it,
to
it's
start
definitely
talking
not.
To people.
You're right.
No.
The thing that I've started to tell people pretty often is, at the end of the day, when you're thinking back on last week or last month or last year or 5 years ago, you're not going to be thinking about something you saw in the computer in your hand. You're going to be thinking about where you went, who you went with, what you did together. You think about those actual experiences in places that you physically were. You have to go out into the world to be a part of the world. And sometimes that can be scary, but, you know, it's worth the risk. There's a lot of good out there, and you're not going to find it looking in your phone.
It's true. And you are so correct about that. It's experiences that people remember, and it's experiences that make us feel alive, and other people make us feel alive.
Yes.
And, you know, when I work with people, I tell them, you've got to get out there. And sometimes they go, gosh, the only place I go all week long is the grocery store. I'm like, hey, that's great. When you're in a grocery store, there's at least 50 people at a time in a grocery store when you're shopping. No matter what time of day, there's at least 50 people in the store to talk to. Say hello to the clerks that are taking the boxes, you know, taking care of that. Talk to the counter people. Talk to the cashiers. Talk to people that are buying something. Talk to people. And you would be surprised how receptive people are to smiling and saying hello and having a conversation.
Yeah.
So it's really important to start talking to people. And especially, I tell them something as simple as smiling. Just learn to start smiling wherever you go. Have a little smile on your face. And people who are depressed have a tendency to have they've lost that spark, that little sparkle in their eye.
Yeah.
And they lose eye contact with people. So, you know, start learning to have eye contact with people. At least 3 seconds. Look at someone, give them 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. And at least do that. So if you find yourself constantly looking at the ground when you're walking and not looking at people, start looking up, look around, be more alert, start smiling, talking to people. And even in the small steps, such as when you go to the grocery store, just make it a goal. Every time I go to the grocery store, I'm going to talk to one person.
Yeah.
And then the next week you go to the grocery store, say, I'm going to talk to two people. And then it'll expand from there, okay? So if the grocery store is the only place they go to. And
That is almost a form of immersion therapy, because if you're a person who's unhappy, there are certain behaviors, like you mentioned, looking down at your feet when you walk. That was something that I used to do when I was at my heaviest depression. You know, I'd walk and I'd look down at my feet. You know, shoulders hunched over, and you know all of that.
Sure.
And it's do start to create your own reality in that way. You know, your behavior can sort of really help enhance the mood that you're feeling. And just by standing up straight and looking straight ahead when you walk, smiling at people, making eye contact, even sometimes forcing yourself through the beginnings of small talk with somebody that you're not necessarily feeling at the beginning, can really start to open you up, you know, in seconds and make you feel a lot better. It's a loss of connection between people sometimes, especially with the isolation. And so when people are getting out there and they're beginning to have conversations with people, it's good to have a toolbox of things that you know will work for you to get you out of it. But you would have to be pretty self-aware to know those things about yourself that you have to start fixing. So when you're talking to people, are you starting to notice these things in them to kind of counsel them against, hey, you know, this is a thing that I've noticed that, you know, maybe you should try this because I think this would fit with your personality.
Of course. And you know, we do things such as sometimes I have them send me pictures of what they look like if they want to. Most of the time it's very confidential when they talk to me. I have no idea where they're at or, you know. And but, you know, sometimes it helps and I go, well, gosh, you know, the pictures you're sending me, you're always wearing black. All your clothes are black, you know. And, you know, so, yeah, I understand that you may like, you know, Megadeth and AC/DC. That's okay. And but again, you've got to change up a little bit of some of the things that you're wearing. So you've got to be a little bit more conscious of what you're wearing when you go out.
Yeah.
You know, brush your hair, things like this, your body language. I'm like, gosh, you know, put your shoulders back a little bit. Get a little bit self-confidence immediately just by pushing your shoulders back and putting your chin up. You know, people, you know, even as a kid, right, when you're down and people say, hey, kid, put your chin up.
Yeah, yeah.
And right. So you know, body language, people immediately judge you based on your body language. And people do. They judge you based on the way that you look. It's true. And
it is interesting that you bring all of, that you bring all of this up, because it definitely sounds like there's a component of self-acceptance and self-understanding and being willing to take some chances and try some new things to kind of wake yourself up from the funk that you're in.
Right. I mean, I've dealt with singles. This is so common. I deal with singles, and especially women. Women will say this, and women will tell me, "Go." I'll be like, "Okay, Mary, you're dressing. You know, you're just dressing just for yourself. You're dressing for your own comfort and yourself. You need to stop wearing such frumpy clothes. Wear something that's more figure flattering, and let's get your skirts a little bit shorter, just a little bit. You don't need to wear them all the way down your ankle. You know, stop looking." Like your clothes came out of the dryer, look like you made an effort to look pretty.
Yeah.
And you know, and the women will be like, well, I'm going to dress for myself. If he doesn't like the way I am, then I don't need him. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. You know, here, let's do it this way. If you're going on a job interview, don't you dress up for a job interview, right? You're not going to wear comfortable clothes.
Right.
You're going to dress for the part. You're going to wear a pressed blouse, nice slacks, nice skirt. You're going to polish your fingernails, touch up your hair, look real polished, right, for the job interview. Well, guess what? When you're dating, it is a job interview in a way as well. That other person is interviewing you to see if they want to be with you for the rest of your life and the rest of their life.
Sure.
So if you are really looking for love, you've got to create this complete package to show that you're willing to make the effort to have someone in your life. So there's so much. There's hundreds of things. but I have all these audio courses. I love them. I love it. But it's things like that you have to pay attention to. So
even someone culturally mm-hmm. different, you mentioned somebody like in a Megadeth t-shirt or something, if you're going mm-hmm. to meet mm-hmm. a heavy metal guy and you want to wear mm-hmm. heavy metal mm-hmm. clothes, you want to mm-hmm. wear the best ones. You want to wear the nice ones.
No, exactly.
You want to wear the ones
right.
that are going to make you look nice. I mean, you can wear
right.
the stuff that you're going to wear, but, pick something good instead of just whatever feels good. Pick something that looks
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. If you are both rockers still don't wear the t-shirt that was, pulled out of the hamper. wear your shirt that it's really black. It's not the charcoal gray because it's been washed 100 times. Make sure it's a crispy black Megadeth t-shirt.
Yes.
So for sure. And, of course, make sure your sneakers are really clean. Right. But the goal is to show the other person that you are making an effort for them.
Yes.
So think of it this way. It's also respect. If you're going to someone's wedding and it's a huge, elaborate party, right? And that the couple spent thousands of dollars to make a beautiful wedding for you as the guest. They got beautiful food and decorations and all these things were for you. It's really your responsibility to make an effort to dress wonderfully when you go to their wedding. Don't show up to their wedding in jeans and a t-shirt and sneakers. How disrespectful is that, right? Make the effort to put on the dress pants, the dress shirt, or the skirt, or the dress. You're making the effort because they made the effort to give you a wonderful evening. So think of it the same way when you're going out on a date.
Yeah, if this is a person that matters to you,
they could be the love of your life. You just don't know it yet.
You're right. You are signaling in a lot of ways through body language and through presentation. You are kind of signaling, what kind of a person you're willing to show up as.
Right.
even as things progress, because if you show up just saying, hey, I'm here, I'm present, I thought about you when I put this together. That can go a long way toward thinking about what kind of a future you might have, whether it be a week or 40 years. It's good to know that the other person that you're with is willing to think about you when they think about how they're going to show up for you, not just physically, but emotionally. But physically has something to do with it. If you show up and you're well put together, or you thought it out, it shows that you're willing to put in a little bit of work. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's you've got to make the effort. And I could tell you a little something about my husband that he made. He probably won't like I'm telling you this on a podcast, but when we went on our first date, he was just not dressed to my I guess what I would have expected, I guess. And my husband's a business owner, and he's a former rock star, so he's then he moved into the business world, but that was in his 20s, so he moved into the business world. And so anyway, so we go on our first date, and he shows up in these jeans that are outdated, and a shirt that was just too big on him, and just not something that I really would have expected. And I could tell he made the effort because he really thought he looked really good. But to me, I thought, gosh, haven't you opened up the latest issue of GQ lately? And so in my head, I'm already thinking, yeah, okay, he, of course we got along fantastic, and it was, all those wonderful things. And, but, in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, he would look so much better better with this kind of shirt and these kind of pants. And the point I'm trying to make is that they may not dress exactly the way that you like, but if they made the effort, that's what counts.
Yeah.
And you can always change them later. So, but
my wife
all worked out great.
Say
now I'm the one that buys all his clothes for him, and it keeps me happy.
Yeah.
My
wife will definitely say things to me once in a while. You know, she'll be. I'll put something on, and she'll go, "That, huh?"
Like, yeah, right.
Why?
Right. It's
you. You know what?
Yeah,
never mind.
Sure,
I'm just
going
to throw it away.
Sometimes I wash clothes, right? And my husband, he has lots of music TV t-shirts. And my husband has AC/DC t-shirts and whatnot that he wears around the house only.
Yeah.
And, sometimes I'll go, wash clothes this week. Another one of your shirts bit the dust. He's like, what? Which one did you throw away this time? And I'd be like, yeah, after so long, it's time to toss them away. And, you got to make the effort. And even when you're married, you should still make the effort on the way that you look and around that person as well. And it's all about respect.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes being present with someone, and it can really teach you some things about yourself. And the way that you're interacting with the world, when you start thinking about the way you're interacting with someone that you care about or could care about. So
right,
I think
right.
what you're doing is really, really awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have stacks of thank you cards I really love it. And I love helping people. I've been doing it for just such a long time, and I come across so many unique situations too. I mean, a lot of the situations are the same over and over and over, but sometimes a really unique situation will come up and I'll go, wow, you know, this person is just really going through a lot. But we work it out and it's all good, you know, but they have to make the effort. So, if someone is suffering from depression or they just think their life is, you know, awful and I hope that they either seek, you know, very professional help to work on that.
Yeah.
Or if it's a matter of just, you know, a negative kind of disposition, you know, just do some things to change it a little bit. And usually being around other people and how you feel about yourself, it's the self-esteem is what needs to be built up. So and even if it's small things, like I said, even if they just cook a good meal or anything that they could feel better about themselves, and being around other people that can also help them feel better is always a great idea as well. And so these people need to get off the computer so much on the social media.
Yeah.
And yes, for sure.
And the thing that I think is really important for people is to figure out the things about yourself that you are allowing yourself to do that are keeping you unhappy, and
right.
and making peace with the fact that you are going to be the one to change the things that you're unhappy with, especially if you're looking to be in a relationship with another human being. They can definitely enhance your life and make your life better and fulfill a lot of things that are unfulfilled. But ultimately,
sure.
They're not going to necessarily complete you. You should show up as a complete human being to a relationship. And that can be difficult, especially with the cultural expectation that you're half a unit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think sometimes the phrasing, it catches people off guard because they don't necessarily believe that they're enough on their own. And you kind of have to be enough on your own because you want a whole person. You should want to be a whole person.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, half of this country is single. So, there's a myriad of reasons why, but, you know, it's you've got to have your own life going before you go and meet somebody. And, And, you know, dating is hard, but you've got to do it. You've got to get out there and do it. And it's good for you. It makes you a better person. It makes you want to do this and see this, and you get excited and have something to look forward to. You know, a lot of people are depressed because they just don't have either a purpose or they don't have something to look forward to. And when you find somebody in your life, you've got something to look forward to. You wake up and go, oh, I wonder, you know, what they're doing or what we're going to do today, or I'll learn something new, or they're going to make me laugh, or what we're going to talk about. So, so it's important. And but singles do need to work on themselves first, by all means, yes.
Well, I think that all of this is pretty great, and this has been an awesome conversation.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been really good. I hope that singles are listening and really get some great ideas. And you know, could I have them visit my website by chance if they want to visit?
Absolutely.
I have lots of resources. I have lots of free resources. I've got my Dear Michelle Valentine advice columns. We're going to be uploading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos very soon. And so have them visit my website, www.michellevalentine.tv, like television, and have them visit there. There's lots of free things, and if they need to talk to me, I'm available as well. And but I do hope that they have learned some things, and I want them to get into a good relationship and have a happy life and get through being single, because it is a tough world out there.
Yeah.
And but they need to keep trying. And you're a married guy, and
yeah.
Hopefully, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you're happier married than you were single.
Yes.
And and it's being with the right person helps a lot. And but you got to attract that right person. So, that's really important.
Well, thanks for talking to me.
Well, thank you. And I hope everyone learned something, and that's all I can say. So, but I really enjoyed it. And I think you're doing a great thing, Chris, by helping people out there. And, it's a struggle. Depression is a struggle. And, people have a lot of things to look forward to. And that's it. Life
yeah.
can be great.
Absolutely. You take the things that you have control over and give yourself focus. And that's kind of the whole idea behind, the title of the show. It's like it may seem, flippant to a lot of people, but if you're a person who's struggled with some pretty serious depression, then, I mean, it really hits home. People have told me that it really hits them where they live when they hear, you got a choice when you wake up in the morning. It's like, you can have a cup
right.
of coffee or you can kill yourself. It's like, choose
right.
coffee.
Right.
And
it's
whatever
fantastic.
Whatever that coffee is, it's not necessarily uh-huh. coffee. Sometimes it's, sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's, but focusing on something even as small as your first cup of coffee in the morning and giving yourself over to this idea that you're going to take care of yourself, that you're going to make it through, and that there are things to look forward to. That's kind of the whole point. That's
right.
what we're all doing.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic. Just one cup of coffee at a time. Just
Absolutely.
Take it one cup of coffee at a time.
Thank you. Oh, what a great conversation. I absolutely adore that woman. She's a bright spot in the universe, trying to do some good. And if you want to get some more of that in your life, and I know that you do, you can go to michellevalentine.tv. Not enough? She's also on the Instagram, michellevalentine123. Follow her. You can also follow me on the Instagram. If you haven't found me yet, Coffee Over Suicide is not hard to find. It's pretty much just that. Until Friday, when the next episode comes up, I'm going to sign off here. But before I do, I just want to mention a big thank you to podcastguest.com for helping me find all of these amazing people. And you can too, podcastguest.com. And as always, don't kill yourselves out there.